Our second reading is Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22, one in Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hand of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, that the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing his flesh, the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and to peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to carry on now straight into the sermon. So do you mind if we just pray for a minute? Father God, thank you for bringing us all here today, and may your word be understood as I try and relay and interpret the passage that has just been read there from Ephesians. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us and the glory that you make that makes you shine. Amen. Right, I'm going to be using both phone and a little bit of my book. All will be put right in Christ. This is a promise. We were and still are dead in our transgressions and sins, but all will be put right by the grace of God. Through our faith, God has granted us the gift, that gift for we are the product of his workmanship, the goal created in Christ Jesus to do good works. These works have been prepared in advance for us to do. We're further told that in Christ we are one. Every individual can come together as one to receive the gift of grace, which is given generously. Effectively, we have a new humanity. This new humanity can shift, crash down on boundaries, barriers, and restraints. All this is achievable because Christ walked among us some 2,000 years ago. Christ has set us free. This freedom has always been on the cards since the fall. The notion of unity with no distinctions, differences, or discriminations. As we look at Isaiah 25, 7, 8, it's a certainty of our future. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud which enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. Mirroring this, we have, like the Lord has spoken, this in Revelations 21, 1-5, the New Jerusalem, reminding us that the dwelling of God is ultimately with us, and he will live, and he will live with us. Our world is broken, dark, and lonely. and our theme for the past 2 weeks has focused on healing. How are we able to make everything like new when a hurt runs deep and reconciliation is far in the distance? Our world is dark, the constant transgressions, the crimes against individuals stroke humanity, the bitter, deep rifts that emerge, the hate that is in our world makes life at times intolerable. We must die to this world, turn ourselves around completely, and cry out for the Spirit of the Lord to dwell in us. Our world is lonely. When we live in a society which alienates differences, we feel totally marginalised, adrift and alone. As a person of colour, my everyday life, every day, is filled with negotiations and obstacles. I have to assess situations in order to avoid conflict. As a people, we were persecuted and exploited during the 400 years of slavery. That pain and hurt is intergenerational trauma, the scars of which are splattered all over society. As a second generation black living in a society that I believe I share the same values as the majority, in reality, I find that by virtue of my colour and culture, I am discriminated against by all major institutions which are designed to protect and support me, because they are peppered with racism and stereotypes. The government, the health service, the education system, the police, and even the church. All of the listed institutions regard me as different and other. Where are my allies to be found? Who will stand by my side? When folks arrived from the Caribbean, they had been led to believe that the Commonwealth was a community of sovereign nations with equal standing. But on arrival in Britain, they found that the nation was adverse to their presence, and as a result, black and brown people were oppressed. I am able to tell this story because both of my parents and I witnessed the oppression firsthand. My parents, coming from the Caribbean, had been invited and recruited from their home. My mum arrived knowing that she had secured a position to train as a state registered nurse. When my parents wanted to buy our home on Springfield Road, there was a petition set up to challenge and prevent the purchase. My mum was a willing witness of the Lord, and she craved fellowship. St. Christopher's was a mere stone throw away, so both my mum and dad came to worship. My dad describes how folks shuffled along the pews or physically got up and moved away. My dad never set foot back in the St. Christopher's, and he was even reluctant to do so when my sister got married. My mum, with her spirit and character, ignored all pettiness and continued to worship here. Due to the practicality of location and convenience, at this time, many of my parents' friends left the Anglican tradition and set up Black-led Seventh-day Adventist Church. My mum, for practical reasons, was unable to dedicate a whole Saturday to worship, as this was the style of worship at the Adventist Church. How do I view the notion of reconciliation and healing when I look at my mum's generation? Psalm 97:2, a description of the Lord. Clouds of thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Psalm 97:10 to 12. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hands of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. A snippet of Psalm 98:9. Let them sing the body, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Healing is made easy because our foundations are in the Lord. as with the Jews during the time of the Apostle Paul was during the time of the Apostle Paul was writing, favoritized themselves, placed themselves over and above other nations. They boasted their privilege. The Gentiles would have probably felt like the other because they were viewed ungodly with their idols, etc. The new humanity acceptance with God is now through faith in the Christ crucified. Galatians 3:8, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us all. It carries on. Colossians 3, rules for holy living. Colossians 3, 8:15, then the peace of the Christ rules our hearts. We're able to wash over transgressions of this world, except with confidence it is not our concern, because as individuals with Christ, we have the strength to overcome whatever hurt life wants to throw at us. Like Job, despite all adversities, we continue to spout and praise the goodness of God. We're able to let the peace of Christ rule over our hearts, since as members of one body, we're called to peace, for which we are thankful. Having this knowledge enables our freedom and release from the bitterness of hate. Our joy is in the Lord. The ability to forgive whatever grievances we might have with one another, it is hard, but total surrender to the will of God, that obedience helps us to make the picture just a little bit clearer. You will no longer think or speak spitting vitriol, hate and malice, because you would have changed. There will be only one exclusive society throughout. All who are chosen are invited. There is no reason for us to be vengeful. Deuteronomy 32. It is mine to avenge. I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip. Their day of disaster is near. Their doom rushes upon them. Christ is our cornerstone, the foundation of our being. Humanity has a purpose to which we all can aspire. Christ is our rock. We must seek him and stand firm. Amen. Thank you.